welcome to the Faith Rest Show. I am your host, Tom Molinar. Today we're going to begin a series on divine wisdom, and it's taken from the book that we had written on divine wisdom, 365. This particular lesson is on page 12, and if you have your book with you, you could follow along. It is called God's Grace. The word grace conjures up beautiful images of elegance, style, kindness, and many other things. But what does it really mean? Grace is also defined as a gift, undeserved and unearned. The Bible defines it perfectly. From God's viewpoint, and it says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, for the purpose that you will always have all sufficiency in everything, that you may have an abundance for every good deed." And we read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. Think of grace this way. If God could have sent his only Son to take on our punishment and condemnation while we were still sinners, then how much more would he do for us now that we are his children? God's grace abounds no matter what, or no matter where or to whom. As his children, we have boundless access to his grace. Our belief in his Son is our only salvation, for we are saved by grace and not anything that we have done. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. That is grace. Just as we put on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, which is eternally secure, we must put our faith in him that he will always take care of us, no matter what. After all, look at the flowers and the birds and the grass of the fields. He feeds them and he looks after them. And we read that in Luke chapter 12, verses 24 through 31. In fact, I would encourage you to open your Bibles and read that entire section in the book of Luke. Would he not do more for his children? Yes. There are Christians out there that are poor, without jobs, who live in shanty towns. But when any one of them believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, this is the faith that God will protect them and provide for them, and their life is superior, for they have joy and peace in their souls. Something the world could never, never know. They have the confidence that their God, the Father and Creator of this universe, will supply all of their needs, as stated in Philippians 4:19, which says, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Rather, more importantly, it is a life with peace of soul and contentment in the midst of adversity. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Because of God's grace, we can share in the happiness of God, knowing that we are his children, knowing that he will work all things for our good, as we read in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God's grace gives us the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us to overcome all things. And his incomparable great power for us who believe that power is like the working of his mighty strength through God the Holy Spirit. This is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. This is grace, freely given and undeserved, given to us with no conditions. So let's look at just a few memory verses in closing out this first section of God's grace. The first one is Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than any sparrow. And verse 22 of Luke chapter 12 says, and he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, or for your body what you will wear or put on it. And Luke chapter 12, verse 27, consider how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like any one of them. Let us now continue with the next lesson in the book Divine Wisdom 365 on page 13, which is entitled God's Love and Grace. And it starts this way. She was hated. She was despised. She was an outcast. Why? Because she was a prostitute. They wanted to rid her from society so she could not corrupt their children. As in ancient times, stoning was a form of capital punishment, and prostitutes were stoned to death. This practice is still observed in some Middle Eastern countries even today. As the religious leaders surrounded her, ready to stone her, Jesus Christ was in their midst. He knew what they were thinking. So he simply bent down and started writing in the sand. And when he stood up, he said, he who is without sin among you may cast the first stone. We read that in John chapter 8, verse 7. We may not know exactly what he wrote, but what he did write convicted them of their judgmental thinking. The leaders slowly dropped their stones, and one by one they walked away. This passage is recorded in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And I quote, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This historical event was recorded to tell us how careful we must be in judging other people. All sins, whether small or big in man's eyes, are repulsive to God, and they keep believers from having fellowship with him. This includes all mental and verbal sins, including half-lies, worry, guilt, fear, doubt, judging, gossiping and maligning, sins of the tongue, as well as the sins of the prostitute. They are all repulsive to God, but all of which have been paid for by God's love in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross to take on our condemnation. You can read that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. The beautiful story of God's grace and love shows us that sins do not keep us from God, because there is no sin for which Christ did not die. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." His love is beyond measure and beyond our own thinking. We simply must have the faith and belief in our Lord Jesus Christ to be able to enjoy the wonderful and rich life that he has provided for us. This does not mean rich as in material goods, but rich as in the only riches of God's grace can provide. It involves peace of soul and contentment in the harshest of adversities. It involves happiness and confidence in the knowledge that he does care for his children and will protect us in the most serious times of national unrest, corruption and criminality, and even personal adversity. Can we believe his abundant promises? Can we trust him that he will never leave us or forsake us? As it says in Hebrews 13:5, can we have the faith in him to know that there is nothing that happens to us without his knowledge, that there are no incidents without God? His omniscience knows all. God wants to fulfill his plan for our lives. Psalm 16:11 says in closing, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Thank you for listening to this short message, and we will continue as we carry on the study of Divine Wisdom 365. Thank you for listening.
Consider all the world.